that video asked us, is there room in your heart for God to write his story this Christmas? I hope the answer will be yes. Sometimes we get so busy writing the story of our lives ourselves that we forget that God wants to write a better one for you, and we make no room for him like the people of Bethlehem. I think I may have told some of you this story before, but those new to the fellowship or visitors may not have heard it, so bear with me. When I was about 10 years old, I had a friend called Colin. Always be wary of friends called Colin. It's nobody here, don't worry. It was Colin's birthday, but a few days before, we'd had a fight about something trivial, as lads do, and it ended up with him saying, right, you're not coming to my birthday party. Well, the party day arrived, and I could see across the road from our house all the children arriving for the party in their best clothes, something we did in those days, not like today where you turn up in any old jeans and polo shirt. Once the party was underway, I thought I'd just wander across to Colin's house. And as I looked through the window, I could see everyone having a good time, playing games, having fun, eating jelly. As you can imagine, as I watched them playing and eating, I felt so sad and lonely and rejected that I wasn't invited to the party. Oh, it was worse than that. The story, however, did have a happy ending, as Colin's mother saw me and invited me in, and I was sent off to get changed and grabbed a present and was accepted into the party. Mary and Joseph must have felt a much worse sense of rejection than I did as they finally arrived in Bethlehem after travelling on foot or on a donkey for the nearly 100-mile journey from Nazareth to the census in Bethlehem. Google says it would take 33 hours to travel that far by foot. And with a pregnant girl on a donkey over rough terrain, possibly even longer. They must have been tired out by the journey and looking forward to a hot meal and a warm bed. And imagine their feeling of disappointment and rejection when they found there was no room in Bethlehem. No one wants you to stay with them. And worse still, perhaps, due to God's perfect timing and possibly a little help from a jiggly donkey, Mary was now in labour. So Joseph had to take whatever accommodation was on offer. How heartbreaking it must have been to have your firstborn son in a dirty, smelly stable or cave, and to have to place him in the manger that the animals feed from to keep him off the dirty floor. And as Matthew said this morning, perhaps it wasn't a stable like we imagine. Perhaps there wasn't a donkey even, because it doesn't say there was a donkey in the Bible. And perhaps there weren't even three kings. They weren't kings. There weren't three of them. But they did bring three gifts. But they didn't even come to that manger or stable or cave or whatever. So I'm just debunking a little of the myth of Christmas and stick to what the Bible says about it, not what's grown up around it. Possibly because Joseph and Mary were going back to their hometown, they were expecting to stay with one of their distant relatives. you know, like a second cousin or Uncle Bernard or whoever. But everybody had got there before them because Mary was pregnant and they took longer to get there. So there was no room, whether it was going to be a room, so they had to bed down in a barn or a cave with the animals for that night. If the people of the town had known who they'd rejected, because there wasn't an innkeeper either. Sorry to upset your thoughts about Christmas. There was no mention of an inn or an innkeeper, which we see in our nativity scenes. But if only the townspeople of Bethlehem had known who was in town that night. If only they'd known that the King of all creation was in their midst, they'd have thrown their doors open wide and welcomed him in. But they remained in ignorance because God chose to reveal the birth of his son to some lowly shepherds looking after a flock of sheep on some nearby hillside. Shepherding in those days, as Matthew mentioned this morning, was considered one of the lowest forms of work, something you'd only do if you had no other choice. Just think how smelly they'd have been, sleeping out in the open with a flock of sheep night after night. Possibly today's equivalent of the sewer worker who, day after day, works down the sewer, dislodging those fat balls that we've all seen on TV. The point is that it was someone on the edge of society that you wouldn't normally want anywhere near you. A king was lying in that manger, but God chose a lowly young teenager, pregnant before she was married, to give birth to him. And he chose lowly, grubby shepherds to announce his birth to first, instead of the local royalty, as you might have expected, and whom the wise men certainly went to first to find him. You see, in Paul's first letters to Corinthians, it says that God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong, the lowly things of the world, like Mary, and the despised things of the world, like the shepherds. The royal palaces and the so-called respectable people had no room for Jesus. So what about you this Christmas? Are you too proud to make room in your heart for Jesus? Will you leave him out of your celebrations this Christmas, or will you invite him in? Will you make room in your heart for Jesus to write his story this Christmas? Mary and Joseph must have had a real sense of shame at first, being told that she was going to be pregnant before they were even married. Maybe not so shameful these days, but it certainly was then. In fact, under Jewish law, Joseph could have had her stoned for being pregnant with someone else before he was married to her. So he was just going to drop her quietly until the angel told him otherwise. The shepherds themselves always knew that they were outcasts and didn't quite fit in to normal, respectable society. How about you? Are you feeling you don't quite fit in? Perhaps especially when you come to church? Or do you have a deep sense of shame about something, as Joseph did? Well, let me tell you the good news which the angels told the shepherds. That the baby who came at Christmas didn't stay as a baby, but grew into the man who died on the cross at Easter. He died to take away your sin, your shame, your feelings of inadequacy. If only you'll make room in your heart for God to write his story instead of you. You'll only make a mess of your life anyway. Perhaps some of you already have. So hand your life over to someone who made you and knows how to get your life back on the right track again. That video said, you can come as you are. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be anybody special. You don't have to be good or perfect. You can come as you are to Jesus. But of course, Jesus won't leave you as you are. He wants to change you and to make him more like him. And so we come back full circle to where we started this service. The Lord Jesus, the light of the world, the Word who became flesh, can take away the darkness of your sin and shame in your life when you make room in your heart and don't leave him out of the party this Christmas as I was. Amidst all the celebrations of Christmas, remember to leave room for him in your heart and life. Amen.